As we prepare our hearts to hear God's word, let us pray. Faithful God, how blessed are those who hunger for your righteous justice and thirst for your just righteousness. Let's recognize our hunger and thirst this morning. Sanctify us by your word and spirit so that we may glorify you in the company of the faithful. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The scripture is taken from the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 10, verse 25 through 37. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" The lawyer answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, the lawyer asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he too passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to that man who fell into the hands of the robber?" The lawyer said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At this time, I want to welcome Nicole Arison Champagne as our guest preacher. Welcome aboard, Nicole.
Good morning. Good morning. As part of my work as the moderator for the Presbytery of Southern New England, I have committed to building relationships by worshiping and talking with all of our member churches. I was delighted to accept Kevin's invitation to be with you this morning as part of that journey. In addition to that, as I work to build relationships across the Presbytery, I invite you to contact me at any time to chat, to talk about what we may talk about today, or your interest in other presbytery activities. You may see me after the service, or Pam in the office has my contact information. I do encourage you to reach out and even just to say hello and introduce yourselves. Please join me in prayer. Holy God, as we come together this morning, we open ourselves to your Spirit. Who is our neighbor and how will we love them? Bring fresh understanding to why the Good Samaritan alone drew near to danger, unafraid, giving compassion and bringing hope. Guide us in being open to relationship with the oppressed, the stranger, the outcast, and the one without community. Amen. The story of the Good Samaritan is a parable that resonates with me as our country continues to struggle with racial tensions. It is a story and condemnation of racism. The questions, who is my neighbor, and what does it mean to be a loving neighbor, are ones we still are asking ourselves even today. For the rabbi and the Levite in the parable, they chose to look the other way. They didn't want to get involved. Sometimes, even the most well-intentioned people do that around issues of race and other things that make them uncomfortable. They choose not to engage, perhaps because it's political. Or maybe they don't, maybe they think they don't have enough information to discuss it well and fear they will say the wrong things. I get that. It's much easier to pretend not to see that which we don't believe we can change or choose not to. It's uncomfortable. But Jesus never promised his followers comfort. Instead, he calls us into relationship with one another, into relationship with people who don't look like us or act like us. He calls us to celebrate with those who are joyful, to weep with those who mourn, and to fight with those who are oppressed. The Good Samaritan passed and saw a man lying in the ditch alone and bleeding. The Good Samaritan didn't ask if this man might have deserved the beating or what the circumstances were around him being robbed. He didn't say, "Shame on you for coming this way." What he saw was a man in need of assistance. He demonstrated compassion and mercy by tending to the injured man's immediate needs as best he could, and then he got him to an inn where further healing could take place. The wounds of people of color are not as obvious as the man in the parable, but their invisibility doesn't make them any less life-threatening. Those wounds cause stress, long-term physical and mental health issues, poverty, prejudice, and violence. As a white woman, I have very little personal experience with the discrimination, oppression, and pain that my siblings of color have experienced. But I can listen, educate myself, and stand with them. I can show up. I can see them. I can be with them and validate their pain. I can be in relationship with them. The Samaritan's assistance didn't stop on that one day. He paid for the man's ongoing care. That might not have been easy for him. It cost him. And there's a cost for Christians to live for and be obedient to God. Part of that cost in speaking out for racial justice is repentance. So often today, that word is used as another word for seeking forgiveness. But it actually means a complete change of heart and mind. I have come to realize the privileges I have been given in my life just because I am white, and more importantly, recognize how people of color are confronted with obstacle after obstacle just because of their skin color. As the product of a sheltered conservative upbringing, I have been embarrassed by my mistakes and the things that I did not know. But it is from those mistakes that I have experienced the greatest growth. I strive to live by Maya Angelou's words, "Do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, do better." In the fall of 2018, the Presbytery Roundtable, which is the equivalent of a session for the Presbytery, began a conversation about what the work of anti-racism might look like in the Presbytery of Southern New England. This came out of some of the experiences that members of the roundtable were having through their work in Next Church and a desire to see this engaged in our presbytery. Following those initial discussions, there have been several retreats and ongoing training with Crossroads Anti-Racism Training and Organizing. In our work together, we have determined that we are not as anti-racist an organization as we had thought we were. This work is slow-going and at times discouraging, while at others, very hopeful. We have discerned that the Presbytery is currently a symbolic institution, meaning that it has awareness of systemic racism, carries out intentional inclusiveness efforts, and sponsors workshops and educational opportunities around anti-racism. But it is not yet deeply committed to making institutional change or prioritizing different cultural norms than the status quo. We do not yet walk the talk. In our visioning, we plan to spend the next 18 months evolving into a critically conscious institution, one where a diversity of perspectives is seen as essential to the goal of liberation for all creation, and one that is critical of its own existence as a product of collaboration with and legitimization of white supremacy. We will discover the barriers within the institutional structures of our presbytery that hinder us from walking the talk. We understand that this step is just a small step towards and not yet the end goal of becoming an anti-racist, liberatory organization. And we understand that this shift is an essential part of our work towards that larger goal. I have recently discovered the life and words of Father Oscar Romero. He tells us, "It helps now and then to take a step back and take a long view. The kingdom is not only beyond our efforts, it is even beyond our vision. We accomplish in our lifetime only a tiny fraction of the magnificent enterprise that is God's work. Nothing we do is complete, which is a way of saying that the kingdom always lies beyond us. No statement says all that could be said. No prayer fully expresses our faith. No confession brings perfection. No pastoral visit brings wholeness. No program accomplishes the church's mission. No set of goals and objectives includes everything. This is what we are about. We plant the seeds that one day will grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces far beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything, and there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something and to do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for the Lord's grace to enter and do the rest. We may never see the end results, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are workers, not master builders, ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets of a future, not our own." We invite all of our presbytery, clergy, elders, members, seekers, any interested party, to join us in planting those seeds and laying those foundations. We encourage you to attend the upcoming presbytery-wide trainings from Crossroads this fall. There's four of them. Attend one or attend all four. In addition, we invite you to our quarterly meetings. This will not only give people a chance to learn, but to ask questions and to wrestle with these complicated questions of not just what anti-racism is, but what it requires of we who desire liberation for all. And if you haven't already, I invite you to subscribe to the Presbytery emails and learn alongside us in that way. It is crucial that we bring along all of our member churches in this journey. We have much to learn from and for each other. My theme for my year as moderator, deepening relationships, building trust, and embracing change, comes from my desire to engage all of our presbytery in this important work. It is hard to believe that I am serving and leading where I am, but it is in my willingness to serve God that I have listened for God's call and trusted in where I have been led. It is my belief that Jesus commanded us to love our neighbor, not just in singular instances, but over time and in relationship with one another. It is up to us to be vulnerable with each other and lean into those times of discomfort. As we grow in relationship with one another, so does the trust we have in each other. When someone you trust shares a hard truth or corrects a falsehood, you are more likely to hear them and accept their guidance. And above all is the imperative to trust God. We need to trust God as they are our rock and our salvation. It is God who has the plan, and it is our duty and privilege to act as their hands, feet, and voice in this time. As a result of the deepening relationships and burgeoning trust, there will hopefully come a willingness to embrace change that will lead to a more just and equitable world. The church can lead the way to a world where we all live in unity in Christ Jesus. Unity doesn't mean sameness. Instead, we can celebrate a beautifully diverse world of believers who care for, support, and love one another, just as the Good Samaritan did. May it be so.